Friday, June 6th. It runs to the fireworks on Saturday, June 14th. Check out the entire lineup at riverbendfestival.com. Get your wristbands and tokens now. Riverbend with WGOW.
Talk Radio 102.3.
All of the bones you know, all working on the radio.
Oh, you know what that means, baby. Eric Buchanan is in the house. All right, where is this the beer lady? Who is this?
So this is Fopoli again.
Oh, this is Fopoli.
This is
They're
their
back.
Song they do in English that I love. It's a talk about great bumper music for a radio show. Bums on the radio. This is
perfect.
Yeah.
But the lead singer is now in Canada. She left the group. Is that right?
She's with some group that's a spinoff of Cirque du Soleil, and she sings in Italian now. But she did some of her own stuff, and the two albums that she did with Fopoli, one of them got nominated for a Grammy. So. Yeah, she's got a great voice.
What is it?
Bums on the Radio is that song we were just listening to.
Oh, man, we are. And Cowboy Joe, I hope you're doing well, buddy. We love it when Eric's here. And Dr. B left the other show with that question, how did he do it? All right, first of all, a couple of things about Eric Buchanan. Hey, our show tonight, all about Social Security disability and long-term disability issues. Give us a call, free advice, 267-1023. Congratulations to Eric Buchanan and Associates, Molina. His office manager, if you're listening right now, they just won the Torch Award, which is probably the best award you can win from the Better Business Bureau. It's really Ethics Award. Hey, congratulations, Eric. That is fantastic.
Thank you. I really need to thank my staff for the work they've done for our clients, especially Melina Haynes, our office manager. She did a lot of the work and the paperwork to finish the application for the award, but we would not have been eligible for it if we hadn't been nominated by our clients.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
That's ethics. I mean, that is everything you're doing right for your customers.
That's what we're trying to do.
That's great. All right, you just got back from an incredible journey, and you made it, didn't you?
Yeah, my wife and I, yesterday was officially our 25th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
And happy anniversary, Meg, if you're listening. We had a great time last night. We went out to dinner, but that wasn't the big news. We did our 25th anniversary trip. We went down to Peru and hiked for 50 miles through the Andes Mountains, all of it above 9,000 feet and some of it above 15,000 feet. Ended up at Machu Picchu. It was absolutely gorgeous, fantastic, and it was such tough hiking that when we got done, we told people, you know, the way to describe this is I felt ready for mountain warfare school. I would have been ready to go out there and be back in the military.
And here locally, you supported a local business, Rock Creek, and they had great shoes and backpack. You did it all, right?
Yeah, Rock Creek sold me some great shoes. I thank them a lot. They sold us some great equipment that we took on the trip. The hiking shoes I had made it 50 miles no problem, very, very comfortable.
Great, man.
I was sore in my legs from all the work, but my feet were fine.
Hey, don't let him say that, man. He's a veteran. Come on. He went to VMI. All right, 267-1023. Come on, folks. You got free advice. We love it when he's in the studio. Our topic tonight, long-term disability insurance. Let's just get this question out of the way. Is it harder to get Social Security disability benefits? If so, why, Eric? What's happening these days? And it seems like there's so many attorneys that are into this now.
Yeah, well, The real bottom line of something that's going on politically is there is pressure being put on the Social Security administrative law judges. I think a lot of them are good guys. I think they're good men and women that are trying to do a good job and be fair. But they've started something over the last few years where Social Security is actually tracking the percentages of people that they find disabled. So the judge who's sitting there hearing somebody's case has on their computer screen what their pay rate is, what percentage of cases where they're finding somebody disabled and not disabled. And basically, they're being told by Social Security, we can't make you fit within a certain range, but if you don't stay real close to the average, we're going to take a hard look at the job you're doing. In other words, they're putting the political pressure on these judges to pay the cases within a certain percentage. They didn't used to do that. Social Security was not supposed to oversee the ALJs like that. The ALJs are supposed to, the administrative law judges, the judges that work for Social Security are called ALJs, and they're supposed to be independent. But they're getting pressure from Social Security. And so the average number of people who are winning at the hearing level has gone down probably a little over 10% in the last few years.
Can getting an attorney like yourself speed up the process? Can it get in front of that judge?
Well, if you ask why can an attorney help you, it's not necessarily to make it go any faster, although we can come back to that and talk about some ways that an attorney can help. The big thing that an attorney can do for you is to help make sure that when you finally get a chance to go in front of the judge that your case is prepared, that the attorney's gathered the medical records, gotten your doctors to fill out assessment forms, gotten the doctors to say why it is not only that you have a medical condition that's disabling, but what it is you can and can't do. That's crucial information. And by the way, thank you all the doctors out there who have filled out forms for our clients so that Social Security can know what that person can or can't do. one of the most important pieces of evidence you can have when you go in front of the judge is a doctor saying this is what you can and can't do. And a good attorney will have forms or standard letters to get from the doctors that answer those questions so we can actually get the doctor's opinion in front of the Social Security judge.
Will a doctor respond more quickly to an attorney than to an individual representing himself? Do people represent themselves?
Well, the doctors, I don't know if they respond more quickly to an attorney, but here's the big thing. Attorneys who know what they're doing will have the right kind of forms that usually the attorneys or someone they've worked with has made up that form that asks the questions in the right way. The questions that we ask in our form that I've come up with and the other attorneys in my office come up with actually ask the question in a way so that the doctor checks the boxes. There's a good chance that the doctor can say you're disabled. There's a reasonable range of the questions where can you lift 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 50 pounds, or no weight, where Social Security has similar forms, but their form doesn't have a box to check that says you can't lift any weight or less than 10 pounds. So on the Social Security form, the one that Social Security's printed up, that if you don't have an attorney is the only one your doctor will ever see, there's no box for them to check to say you can't lift even 10 pounds. So they automatically say that you can do a certain amount of work. The forms that Social Security uses are like that in lots of different categories. So if you don't hire an attorney, there's nobody who's going to ask your doctor the right questions.
Let me ask you this question. Do you have to have a doctor for this type of benefits to get money?
Technically, no. In reality, almost always. And the way that works is there's certain medical conditions. If you meet the medical criteria, if you have exactly the medical records that have certain tests at certain levels, that you can meet something called a listing and be found disabled based on your medical condition alone. But that's only about 10% of the people who win their case. The other 90% are winning because in most cases they have a doctor that says this person can only lift so much weight, or they can only stand for so long, or they're in so much pain they can't concentrate while they're working, or they have to lie down because, you know, their heart is so bad that they shouldn't be doing anything but resting. Whatever their medical condition is, the doctors need to assign specific restrictions and limitations. And because of Social Security's rules, those treating doctors' opinions are supposed to be given the most weight.
Will the person with the hardest case when it comes to a medical issue, do they get through the system a lot quicker? Does it matter?
Well, for most people, you can't make Social Security go any faster. Even with an attorney, this is what you asked a little while ago, with an attorney, can you make it go faster? In most cases, the answer is no. There's so many people applying. There's so many people appealing. There's so many cases in the pipeline that Social Security has of people who have genuine medical issues, genuine health problems, that Social Security can only do so much to speed those cases along. However, if you have an attorney or if you do your own research and really dig into it, there's certain times when Social Security will speed up your case, and attorneys will know to ask for this, an attorney who does a lot of Social Security cases. For example, if you're terminally ill,
okay, I was just going
to
say,
then you can ask Social Security to have it considered to be what they call a TERI case, T-E-R-I, which is their abbreviation for terminal illness, T-E-R-I. And once they designate the case a terminal illness case, a TERI case, then it's supposed to be processed faster than everybody else's claim. Another way you can have your case sped up is if you're going to lose your home, if you're being evicted from your apartment or your house, if you can't pay rent anymore, or if you're not making the house payments, and you've got an eviction notice. Once you've actually got something that says you're going to lose your house or be kicked out of your apartment, Social Security is supposed to move your case along faster.
Filing bankruptcy, does that fit into that category?
Filing bankruptcy does not.
Okay.
And in fact, depending on what kind of bankruptcy you file, a lot of people are able to keep their homes. They just end up having a lot of other financial issues that they have to deal with, but they don't necessarily mean they're going to lose their home. The other one that they've added to the list is something called the Wounded Warrior situation, where if you are a disabled veteran, they will speed your case up a little bit. But if you're not in one of those categories, then you're in line with everybody else. And there's not really much an attorney can do to make the case go faster. But what we can do is make sure that when you do finally get your turn in front of the judge, that the case is prepared, that you're ready to go, that we've got the best chance of winning. Now, sometimes you end up having to come back for a second hearing or even longer if the judge doesn't do a fair job or the judge wants more information. But it's our job to give the judge all the information he needs the first time you go in front of the judge, and hopefully we can, and hopefully we win your case when you get in front of the judge.
Can a video deposition or a video of the person's Terry situation, can that pass?
Well, the easiest way to get somebody shown to be terminally ill is simply a letter from the doctor saying this person's terminally ill, they're not going to live for 12 months. And Social Security at that point is supposed to speed the case up. In Social Security, there's not really a way to do videos and show it to the judge. They don't have video cameras. They don't have a way to watch a video in the courtroom. They're really going by your doctor's records and forms that your doctors fill out. And then the person who's disabled, their testimony, the judge is supposed to listen to that.
All right, 267-1023. Our topic tonight is long-term disability. We just wanted to talk about the Social Security disability benefits, but we want to focus tonight on long-term disability insurance benefits that seems to be affecting so many people. You got free advice. You got probably the best attorney in this city dealing with this issue. Marie, it is so nice to have you on the show. You're on with Eric Buchanan.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, if you are determined to be disabled, to have a long-term disability, and you do start receiving disability from the federal government, are you allowed to work at all at a job that you can perform, but not the original job?
Yeah, that's a great question, and let's clarify a couple terms. Jed started talking about long-term disability right before we started talking to you, Marie. Long-term disability actually refers to disability insurance. Like if you have a policy through work or if you bought a policy on your own that's going to pay you benefits often in addition to what you get from Social Security. Social Security is the program through the federal government, and in order to get Social Security benefits, you have to have a disability that's going to last for at least a year or be a terminal illness. That's one of the qualifications. But you also, in order to win your Social Security case, have to not be working. Now, Social Security has very special rules that apply to the question of are you working or not, and it's not are you working at all, but are you performing something called substantial gainful activity. The really oversimplified answer is if the most you can work is earning less than $1,000 a month, then you can still technically qualify for Social Security disability because you're not working enough. But Social Security will look very hard at people who are working part-time and say, well, if they can work that much, could they work more and earn more than $1,000 a month? So if you're working a little, then it kind of becomes your burden to show that that's the most that you can earn. And if you really want to know more about it that we don't have time to cover tonight on the radio, if you go to my website, BuchananDisability.com, and under a tab called Resources and Articles, one of the articles I have in there is how much can I work and still get my disability that goes into the details about how much somebody can work and win their Social Security case.
267-1023. Our topic tonight, we're going to move to this next part, to long-term disability insurance benefits. Please, you've got free legal advice for the next hour. 267-1023. We're going to take a quick break. He'll answer any questions. Long-term disability, Social Security disability. Eric Buchanan is in the house. Little faux filet.
This is Jen Wigmore.
Oh, well, a little Jen. Okay. Darn it. Just when I thought I knew what I was talking about.
Facebook chats with Brian Joyce and Cowboy Joe. The links you love. From the Facebook friends you never unlike.
You're so adorable.
Talk Radio 102.3, the Talk Monster.
Hey, it's Kevin West, and I would be willing to bet right now there are people listening who have long-term disability claims that are pending. It's a way safer bet than anything Dr. B would recommend. You can make the calls, send the emails, write the letters, and still your case goes nowhere, and you don't know where to turn. Don't worry, I do. Eric Buchanan.
That's right, Kevin. You'd be surprised how often really smart people, doctors, business owners, and even lawyers have to file a claim for long-term disability benefits and get frustrated by the runaround they get from their insurance company. And because people often don't know the rules, they make the situation worse. I'm Eric Buchanan, and my team knows the rules. We help people from all over the country get the long-term disability benefits they deserve. Our office is right here on Macaulay Avenue in Chattanooga.
Eric and his team can help you with your long-term disability claim. Check them out at BuchananDisability.com or call Eric at 634-2506.
your favorite station really helps you out.
Now it gets better.
Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com or wherever you grab apps. iHeartRadio.
Post, picks, and personality.
The Talk Radio 102.3 Facebook page is powered by RT Construction. All types of roof repair and more.
Licensed, bonded, and insured. RT Construction, 954-9702.
Get behind the scenes with Sport Talk.
Ryan Joyce's Chattanooga Discoveries. Kevin West's Morning Press Links.
Thought starters from Dr. B and Bill B.
Plus, chances to win tickets and other prizes. The Talk Radio 102.3 Facebook page powered by RT Construction.
Kevin West here. Do you have a disability insurance policy? Good for you if you do, but I can tell you because I've seen it time and time again that when you have a claim, all does not necessarily go smoothly, not even for doctors or business owners. You can be very good at what you do and still be completely baffled by the insurance company. That's why I want to introduce you to Eric Buchanan. That's what he and his team do. Deal with disability insurance companies.
Kevin, you'd be amazed at the number of calls I get after very smart people have spent time and money dealing with insurance companies themselves and are denied the disability benefits they deserve because they don't know the rules. But I do. We help people get long-term disability benefits they deserve. Before it's too late, call me. My team has clients all over the country, but I'm right here on Macaulay Avenue in Chattanooga. I'm Eric Buchanan, and I can help.
Call Eric Buchanan and Associates and let them make life easier. 634-2506 or find them on the web at BuchananDisability.com.
It's more information than you want to know.
Nausea will severely damage your brain tissue, central nervous system, and basic motor skills.
Jeff Stiles, Jim Reynolds, and Kevin West. WGOW Radio.
Go ahead, you introduce it.
And once again, this is Jin Wigmore from New Zealand.
Thank you. He finds the best stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Jeff Stiles would love this. They need to come to Riverbend.
And she's pretty.
She's beautiful. All right, 267-1023. Welcome back to the show. My guest tonight, I love it when he's in the studio with me, Eric Buchanan. His specialty, of course, is Social Security and long-term disability concerns. And once more, a huge congratulations to his staff, Eric Buchanan Associates, the winner of the 2014 Torch Award by the Better Business Bureau. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to win any award, that's the one to win because it means you've got high ethics. And there's no better award to win than ethics. And that's voted on by his customers. 267-1023. Let's go, folks. Love to have you call in. Slow tonight. Where are you? All right, I want to talk about the difference between Social Security disability benefits and long-term disability insurance.
When you work and you pay FICA taxes, so you see your pay stub from your employer and it says how much was withheld in FICA taxes, what FICA taxes are is you're paying into the Social Security system. When you reach retirement age, you get a retirement benefit from Social Security. If you become disabled before you reach retirement age, you can apply for Social Security disability. Anybody who works has to pay into that system, almost. There's a few exceptions. But the vast majority of people who work pay FICA taxes and are buying credits into the Social Security system. If you become disabled, you apply with the federal government. You have to go through the Social Security process. There's four levels of appeal. There's one of the levels is going in front of a federal judge. They decide if you're disabled. It's supposed to be a fairly neutral system. Sometimes they're harder on people than others. That's all part of what you get just by being an American or being somebody who works in the United States and pays FICA taxes. Long-term disability insurance is a policy that you get either on your own or through work. Most of the time, us geeky attorneys who do this stuff for a living, we'll talk about LTD or long-term disability insurance being those benefits that you have because you have a policy at work. So if you work for an employer that's large enough, the employer will go out and buy a policy from Unum or Provident or MetLife or Hartford or Cigna or one of those companies, and those policies are supposed to pay you 60% of what you were making before you became disabled once you become disabled. And also, by the way, this is an important thing, they typically will offset for anything you get from Social Security. So if you were making $36,000 a year, $3,000 a month, 60% of that, you would get $1,800 a month. If you apply for Social Security and win and get, say, $1,000 a month, you get $1,000 from Social Security and $800 from the insurance company. If you made more money, then you can get more money from the insurance company. Some people who make really good money can get big benefits from the insurance company, and the Social Security kind of caps out at a certain point, so there can be some significant money involved for people who become disabled if they were making good money.
So you are going after insurance companies who will not pay these long-term disability.
So sometimes the long-term disability insurance companies say somebody's not disabled.
Right.
And we sue, and we get those benefits. And there's a lot of steps along the way. It's a very complicated process because it's not like a regular contract. It falls under a federal law called ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974. Again, that's kind of geeky and technical sounding, but what it basically means is if you get your policy at work, whether it's long-term disability, short-term disability, life insurance, health insurance, they are all treated as employee benefits and not real contracts. So there's different federal rules you have to go under to apply for those benefits. The third type of benefit that we help people with is private disability insurance that somebody buys on their own. So, Jed, if you decide you want to make sure you're protected if you become disabled, you go talk to somebody. Northwestern is a good example. The Guardian, some other companies like that will sell those policies individually so that instead of covering everybody at work, at the news station you work for, wherever it is you work, they cover just Jed Mescon if he becomes disabled, and you can buy one of those policies.
So right now, probably I have 60% coverage. I would buy an additional policy to bring me up to the 100% level.
Or as much as they'll insure you for. And typically, if you buy the private policies, instead of paying a percentage of what you're making, those policies will pay a set dollar amount. So you could buy a policy that will be guaranteeing to pay you $3,000 a month or $5,000 a month or whatever it is you're willing to pay premiums on, and whatever the insurance company would be willing to say, that's a reasonable amount of insurance for you.
Listen, if you are listening right now, you've got Eric Buchanan here, attorney. Time to ask you legal questions. Anybody have disability concerns? I mean, there's thousands of people in this community who should be calling right now. 267-1023, disability questions. Let's go, folks. 267-1023. The thing you've always told me is you better have money set aside if you are going after this long-term disability, because it's going to be months before this is going to kick in.
So let's talk about two different concerns, both with Social Security and with long-term disability insurance. In both of those types of cases, there's usually some kind of a waiting period from the time you become disabled. Typically with Social Security, it's 5 months. From the time you stop working to the time you would be eligible for your first check, it's 5 months. Even if Social Security right away on the very day that you file your application says, oh my gosh, this person's so sick that they're disabled, we don't dispute it at all, there's still a five-month waiting period from the time they stop working until their first month where they would get a check. So a lot of times, separate issue, it takes longer than 5 months for Social Security to make a decision. And if it takes them a year or a year and a half to make a decision, wow, they'll go back and pay the benefits starting 5 months after you stop working. So if you're able to do it, the reason why you're saving money for a rainy day, the reason why you need to try to put some money in savings, is because if you become disabled and can't work, it's going to be at least 5 months before Social Security would start, and it may be a year, year and a half, and in some cases even longer before Social Security makes the decision. That's one issue. Let's skip over to the disability insurance side. If you have a disability insurance policy at work, a lot of them have a waiting period that's 180 days. So if you become disabled and can't work at all, it's 180 days before you would get the first check, even if the insurance company agrees you're disabled. Of course, if they say you're not disabled and you have to fight them, it can take even longer. But even if they say right away, oh my gosh, yes, you're so disabled, we're going to pay these benefits, the policy won't start for 180 days. Now, there's a couple ways you can protect yourself. One is make sure you have money in savings. Make sure you put some money aside for a rainy day. The second thing you can do is they do sell short-term disability policies. Most famously, that's Aflac. That's the company that sells policies the most that cover the first 180 days. It might not start for the first week or 2 weeks or maybe even a month, but it starts reasonably soon after you stop working. And if you're disabled for 3 months, if you're in a car wreck, you break your legs, but you can go back to work 3 months later, then you only needed the short-term disability.
And that covers groceries, other needs like that.
You can use the money for anything, for paying for rent, for paying to buy groceries, to keep your other insurance in place, to make your house payment, whatever it is you need to do.
Is that taxable?
That's a really technically tricky question. If you pay the premiums out of your own money after you've paid taxes on that, after it's been had income taxes taken out of it, then it's not taxable. If your employer pays the premiums or you pay the premiums as a deduction before the employer figures out what your pay is for tax purposes, so it's above-the-line deduction is what tax people say, then those benefits will be taxable because you haven't paid taxes on that money yet that's being used to pay the premiums. But if you pay taxes on the money that's being used to pay the premiums, then they're not taxable.
267-1023, Eric Buchanan, my guest tonight. We're talking about long-term disability insurance benefits, Social Security disability. You've got free legal advice here, folks. I don't know where everybody is tonight, Eric. 267-1023, we're usually packed with calls. Anybody got a disability concern? If you're fighting your employer right now, if you've been hurt on the job, you got free advice right now, folks. 267-1023. You're fighting these insurance companies. What is their biggest argument for not paying these premiums?
A lot of times they just simply say you don't meet our definition of disability. They have doctors that work for them who review your medical records and say there's no objective findings to say that you're totally disabled or that you can't perform your own occupation or whatever the definition of disability is under the policy. That happens a lot. A lot of times they will even reject what your treating doctor says, and so we have to go fight the insurance company to say, look, their treating doctor says this is what's wrong with them. They've got two other doctors that agree, and a lot of times we end up having to go to court, and then a judge decides whether or not the insurance company should have denied those benefits.
Are you fighting an attorney working for the insurance company, or once, is there a whole other?
Once we go to court, we're fighting against an attorney who works for the insurance company, and we're usually in federal court.
Wow.
Part of the bad news.
Why federal court?
Because their employee benefits, they fall under that federal ERISA law. So they're not real contracts. And because they fall under the federal ERISA law, some of the stuff that's been written into that law actually helps the employers and insurance companies get the benefit of the doubt in court. So we have to not only prove that you're disabled sometimes, but we have to prove the insurance company was unreasonable when they decided that you were not disabled. Part of the other big problem with ERISA cases is the judge will not look at new evidence when the case goes to court. This is really crucial for anybody out there who has a disability policy that they got through work and they become disabled. You need to talk to an attorney, someone like us who does these cases regularly, before you finish the appeals with the insurance company, because what a federal judge will look at is only the information that's been submitted to the insurance company, because the technical question that the judge is asking is not whether Hartford or Cigna or Unum or whatever was right or wrong based on all the information available, but whether they were reasonable based on the information that was submitted to the insurance company during the claim process. And unfortunately, sometimes we have clients come to us who say, well, I appealed my claim and they said I wasn't disabled. I got a letter from my doctor that said I was, and I turned that in and I appealed. Well, did you get your medical records? No. Did you get the doctor to explain in detail? Well, he wrote a letter, and sometimes those letters are not very good. And they do the appeal on their own, and by the time they come to me, we can't submit more evidence to the insurance company, or we can try to do that, but the insurance company may not look at it, in which case it makes the case a lot harder to go to court. It's extremely technical work. If you go to my website, again, BuchananDisability.com, there's a long explanation of how ERISA works and how it applies to benefits. But at the end of the day, those cases are, you need to go talk to an attorney when the insurance company first turns you down and gives you a time to appeal.
267-1023. Our guest tonight is Eric Buchanan. His specialty, of course, long-term disability insurance, also Social Security disability needs. We'd love for you to call in. I just cannot believe no one is calling in tonight. You've got a ton of people out there, Eric, who are hurting with disability claims. They're being turned down. If you need advice from an attorney, you got one right here. Why an insurance company? What are some of the things that would bring a red flag that they would say, no, we're not paying you?
Sometimes it's the person is still trying to work a little bit, and then the disability insurance company will hold that against them. Sometimes they'll say your disability is something that's based on your subjective complaints. For example, people who are disabled due to back pain, they might objectively have an x-ray that says they've got a broken disc or something in their back, but you can't measure how much pain that is, and so the insurance company says, well, you can't objectively prove how much pain you have. And those can be big-time fights. The insurance companies love to find ways to say somebody's not disabled. Having said all that, we've seen cases where every doctor says the person's really, really sick or really, really disabled, and they've got lots of medical records to back it up, and the insurance company still says we're not going to pay that case just because they kind of can get away with it. Fred, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you, Eric?
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I represent insurance companies, and sometimes I feel like that my clients, you know, do need some representation. I don't feel like the insurance companies are perhaps giving them their best option, and I have referred people to Eric before, and Eric has done a great job in dealing with the insurance companies and actually getting them, my clients, their, you know, their just rewards.
Great call.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. And that's, I will say, Fred, thank you very much. I appreciate all that anybody else out there appreciates our work and that our staff does a great job. And anytime somebody says that they send clients to us, I really, really appreciate that. I will say that we've done some looking at our statistics, and our number one referral source right now is other attorneys. That's where we get most of our cases from.
Which is the ultimate respect.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. There's just not that many attorneys out there who do ERISA long-term disability type work. It's kind of a real specialty. Let me backtrack a little bit, and let's talk about how I got to this place. I am a board-certified Social Security specialist. I started out doing Social Security cases in 1995, so I'm coming up on doing 20 years of Social Security cases. And along the way, did about 1,200 Social Security hearings. I still regularly help people with Social Security. But in the late 90s, we started having clients who came in and said, hey, Social Security says I'm not disabled, and my doctor says I am, but I also got this letter from XYZ Insurance Company, and they say I'm not disabled too. And we started looking at those cases saying, I wonder if anybody helps those people. And we looked around Tennessee, and there wasn't anybody in the late 90s regularly doing those cases. Then we found out this federal ERISA law applies and made it extremely difficult to fight those cases. And that's how we started doing that. So we've been helping people with ERISA cases for pretty close to 15 years now.
So before Eric Buchanan came along, these people were out of luck.
There were a few other attorneys in really big cities who have been doing it longer than I have. I've got a friend in Chicago, a couple friends in L.A. that do this stuff.
So that's why you speak all over the country.
Yeah, there's a fairly small network of attorneys who do this kind of work, who do – lots of people do Social Security disability. Hardly anybody does the long-term disability work.
All right. Come on, folks. You got free legal advice now. I can't tell you to call in, but you got the best here. 267-1023. Hey, Fred, that's the best call that any guest can receive, a compliment like that for Eric Buchanan. 267-1023. The phone lines are wide open. We got 20 more minutes. Call in. Disability concerns. We'd love to hear from you. 267-1023. Good evening.
Devil's disease.
The stuff you need to know. It's covered.
Sounds like a great program.
Keep listening. 102.3 FM, WGOW.com.
Sometimes life can be hard. This is Kevin West, trying to figure out what to do about your Social Security disability or long-term disability claim can be hard without the right help. But I'm standing here with the right help, attorney Eric Buchanan.
Thanks, Kevin. You're right. Life can be hard. There are rules that make it hard for you to get your Social Security or long-term disability insurance benefits. And in many cases, the insurance companies work against you because they want to save money by not paying your claim. You have enough to worry about. That's where we come in. My team understands the rules and knows how to fight to get the benefits you deserve. We have clients all over the country, but are located here on Macaulay Avenue in Chattanooga. Our disability team is ready to be your team.
So if you need help with your Social Security disability or long-term disability insurance claim, call Eric and his disability team at 634-2506 or click on BuchananDisability.com.
Brett Michaels was rushed off stage Thursday night just as a concert at the Palace Theater in Manchester, New Hampshire was getting started thanks to a dangerously low blood sugar level. The Poison frontman, reality show star, and solo artist is a type 1 diabetic and was said to have been suffering from extremely low blood sugar levels, according to his guitarist. Michael survived a brain hemorrhage, a warning stroke, and underwent surgery for a hole in his heart in 2010.
If you've seen the 1980s classic movie, you know it best as the home where Cameron's dad's Ferrari crashed through the glass and into the woods.
What'd I do? You killed the car.
It's actually a two-building, glassy, modernist home located in a wooded area about 25 miles north of Chicago. The home was first put on the market in 2009 for $2.3 million. It never sold, and the price continued to drop. Finally, a buyer has agreed to pay just over $1 million for the home, less than half the original price. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
Hey, it's Kevin West, and I would be willing to bet right now there are people listening who have long-term disability claims that are pending. It's a way safer bet than anything Dr. B would recommend. You can make the calls, send the emails, write the letters, and still your case goes nowhere, and you don't know where to turn. Don't worry, I do. Eric Buchanan.
That's right, Kevin. You'd be surprised how often really smart people, doctors, business owners, and even lawyers have to file a claim for long-term disability benefits and get frustrated by the runaround they get from their insurance company. And because people often don't know the rules, they make the situation worse. I'm Eric Buchanan, and my team knows the rules. We help people from all over the country get the long-term disability benefits they deserve. Our office is right here on Macaulay Avenue in Chattanooga.
Eric and his team can help you with your long-term disability claim. Check them out at BuchananDisability.com or call Eric at 634-2506.
Don't miss a moment. Keep it locked on 102.3 or WGOW.com.
I yell love letter.
Okay, this I like, yes. Man, anything with a saxophone, baby, sounds good.
This is Clary Brown. This is the Heineken commercial where they start turning the old rundown bar into a ninth fancy one, and this is the band that starts playing.
Love this.
They're from Australia.
I don't know what happened, Eric. I think the moon may be out early. Tom, Jim, Barbara, and David, do not hang up. I'm getting to every one of you. Tom, let's go. Start it off. Jim, Barbara, David, hold up. Go ahead, caller.
All right. My wife started her Social Security when she was 60. She'll be 65 this coming February. She has chronic migraine headaches. Would it be to our advantage to try to file for disability or wait it out till she's 66? I don't know really what to do at this point.
All right, that's a good question. That comes up a whole lot. And as you know, or maybe it seems like you know, people who are age 62 can take early retirement from Social Security and draw a reduced benefit that locks them in at a benefit that is much less than what they would get if they wait to the normal retirement age. When it was age 62 and age 65, it was 80% and 100%. Now that people have to wait till they're age 67, depends on what year you were born, it's somewhere between 75 and 80% that you get when you turn 62. And the downside is if you start drawing it then, that's all you ever get for the rest of your life at that 80% figure or 75% figure. If you become disabled and Social Security finds that your disability began before you elected early retirement, you can undo the early retirement, draw your 100% disability, and you draw that up to age 67. And then at age 67, you get the 100% of your retirement benefits. If you become disabled after the early retirement starts, you can still get the 100% up to age 67, so it is some more money. But then once you turn 67, it reverts back to the 80%. I hope that was a little bit helpful,
hey,
not too confusing.
Hey, Tom, can I give you his phone number so you can go visit Eric?
Sure.
All right, it is 634-2506, and they are located right across the street from Memorial Auditorium on Macaulay Avenue. I'm telling you, Tom, it'd be the smartest call you've made.
And www.buchanandisability.com is our website, and there's some information there.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Tom, it meant a lot that you called. David, go ahead. Jim, Barbara, hold on. We're getting to you in a moment. Go, Dave.
Hey, appreciate it. Yeah, I got a simple one and maybe a more complicated one. The first one, I think you might have alluded to it a minute ago. I know a guy that in a union, they get great overtime, and this guy has had a number of surgeries and probably should have been disabled a long time ago, but he's trying to get his best quarters so that when he's finally fully declared disabled or retired or whatever, you know, Social Security kicks in with your best quarters. So I kind of think that, you know, this whole illusion that people are faking it is not really the reason why people keep working. They're looking for the best quarters so that they can finally get out of there with something similar to a retirement.
Yeah, you've thrown in a couple points, and let me address for people that are out there listening how this technically works. When you're paying FICA taxes, when you're working and the government's taking out money from your check, for each quarter that you have at least about $1,000 taken out of your paycheck, you get a quarter of coverage. You need to have 20 quarters out of 40 which is 5 out of 10 years, you need to have worked and paid into the system to be eligible for anything from Social Security disability. So when you become disabled, you had to have worked 5 out of the last 10 years. And you're right that the more that you get paid, then the higher your Social Security benefit would be because you're having that money paid into the system. Now, one of the little tricks to it that people don't know is that if you become disabled at an earlier age, Social Security will actually assume that your pay is going to go up over time, so you can actually get a higher benefit at an earlier age than somebody who's older who's had the same recent earnings. So he might, if you go online, this is the real key thing that your friend can check out. Go to SSA.gov, that stands for Social Security Administration.gov, and there's a place on there to order a form called your PEBS, P-E-B-E-S, which stands for Personal Earning and Benefit Estimate Statement. That will tell you how much you've been paying into Social Security and what your estimated benefits are going to be.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you is a little more complicated. As I understand it, back in, I think it was 2006, as a budget cut, Bush cut the medical plan for the people that work in Oak Ridge and the other nuclear facilities. Now, if I understand right, they have top secret doctors, so to speak. They can't just go out to any doctor. They have to go to doctors that have security clearances because they may be working with not just hazardous wastes, but, you know, in the making of, you know, warheads and things, you know, military armaments. They have to have doctors that have security clearance.
David, we're running go ahead. We're running really short on time. Go ahead and get to the question.
Well, when Bush cut their budget, he was essentially setting them on the loose to hunt up doctors on their own that may or may not have a security clearance. So I'm wondering if you've ever heard of this and, you know, what somebody like that has to do.
Well, I have represented from people from those facilities before. Not the actual government workers, but the people who work for the contractors, and they've been able to get doctors through the regular health insurance that they now have, and I haven't seen that as a particular problem. And, David, thank you very much for your call. We've got some other people on the line. We're going to go ahead and, hey, Jim, are you out there, and what's your question?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask Eric. Yeah, I've been on disability for the last 3 or 4 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I'm also drawing SSI, too. I wanted to ask Eric. Now, my mother had left me a trust fund. And right now I don't have direct access to those funds because my sister was named the trustee. Is there any way that I can contest that? Or
great question.
Well, that's an interesting question to overlap with the Social Security. Let me talk about the Social Security rule very quickly first. You said something interesting that a lot of people don't understand, that you're getting both regular Social Security and SSI. We've been talking so far tonight about regular Social Security, and that's the benefit you get if you pay FICA taxes and you've worked 5 out of the last 10 years, and that's what we've been talking about if you pay into the Social Security system. There's a special part of Social Security for people who are really, really poor who have not paid into Social Security, and in order to get those benefits, you have to be really low on the poverty scale. If you're single, it's less than $2,000 in liquid assets, $3,000 for a married couple, income below a very low level. If you're below that level, instead of looking to see how much you've worked, they just look to see if your income is that low. And if you become disabled, you can get an SSI benefit. Supplemental Security Income is what that stands for. And it's a pretty low benefit. The real downside for SSI is if you have other money or you have other benefits, then they can reduce your SSI. And if you have income above a certain level, they start reducing it, and above a certain level above that, you're not eligible for SSI.
So that's a catch-22 for him. Wow.
And so if you have a trust fund out there, there is a specific type of trust fund that you can have the money if you're on SSI, and it's called a special needs trust, and that's used if the money can only be used for special needs as opposed to for food, clothing, and shelter, which are regular needs. If the money's available to you for food, clothing, and shelter, you don't get the SSI part of your benefit. If you only can use it for food, clothing, and shelter, and the trust is set up that if you can't use it for food, clothing, and shelter, but only for special needs, then you can still have that money in a trust. Special needs typically are things like, do you need a special car because of your disability? Do you need a ramp to get into your house to pay for medical bills related to your disability? That kind of stuff is all okay. Whether the money was left in that kind of a special trust or not makes a big difference.
Hey, Jim, can I give you his number? This sounds like they could really help you out.
Yeah.
It's 634-2506. His office is right there on Macaulay Avenue. It's in a beautiful home. 634-2506, Jim. Please give him a call.
634 what now?
2506.
Okay, I'll give him a call then.
All right. Hey, Barbara, I apologize. 10 minutes, Barbara. You shouldn't have waited that long. Whatever you need, Barbara, go.
All right, thank you. My daughter is a double organ transplant recipient.
Wow.
And when she first got ill, she got Social Security disability, and she also got SSI. But now they're saying that she doesn't qualify for the SSI, and she's just getting a flat fee, $800 a month Social Security check.
Yeah, and were you listening when we were talking to the previous caller about how SSI is the benefit for people whose income is below a certain level?
Right.
One of the things that counts for that income is regular Social Security disability. Once your Social Security disability increases over time above the amount that you can get in SSI, which I think is $772 a month this year, if your income is, if the Social Security benefit is higher than that, then that wipes out the SSI and you can't collect the SSI portion anymore.
All right. So, yeah, she's at like 812, so that means
she's just above that level. That's exactly right, and that's why her SSI has ended.
Okay. That's a good – thank you so much.
Hey, Barbara, that's a remarkable daughter you have there. We wish her well.
Yeah. Bonnie, are you ready?
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi. Thanks, Chad. My ex-husband has just recently gotten on disability. He's his lack of vision. So I have two daughters that are under the age of 18. It's my understanding they're going to start receiving monthly checks that are part of his disability. I guess they receive benefits as well. And will they continue to receive that after they turn 18? Or can you tell me anything at all about that?
Oh, interesting.
Those are called auxiliary benefits, and it's the Social Security special language for dependent benefits. And the rule is that if the children either live with the parent who's disabled or the parent who's disabled is financially responsible for the children because they have to pay child support, then the children can receive the dependents' benefits that are called auxiliary benefits. They automatically cut off at age 18, except if the kid is still in high school, then they will extend to age 19. And if the kid is in the second semester of their senior year of high school, it'll actually get paid once they turn 19 through the May or June when they graduate from high school. The other trick to those dependents benefits or auxiliary benefits is they're about half again of what the parent's benefit is. So if the dad's supposed to get $1,200 a month, the children get a total of $600 a month. If there's six kids, they each get $100. If there's four kids, they each get $150. When there's only one kid left under 18, that kid gets the whole $600. That's how those dependents benefits work. And Linda, you're up.
Hey, Linda, thanks so much for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just deemed disabled, but the judge, he deemed me disabled February 2nd as of this year. That meant that I didn't get any back pay, which I have been disabled for 2 years and couldn't work. Now, I had an attorney, but my attorney hasn't returned my call since this decision was made. But I would like to appeal that. Should I do that on my own or try to get another attorney, or what do I need to do?
Well, Linda, there's a couple questions wrapped up in what you just gave me, and this is actually a fairly common fact pattern, so let me give you some really basic advice. From the date that the judge's decision comes out, you have 60 days to file that appeal if you want to appeal and say, I was disabled earlier. That's a pretty normal appeal. We've had to do that for people plenty of times. The problem that with me giving you specific advice on how you should handle it is you start out by saying you have an attorney. You need to talk to that attorney and find out if they're going to help you with the appeal or not. And if you can't get an answer from them within the 60 days, then I got to tell you, generally my advice to somebody would be to go ahead and file the appeal on their own to make sure that's protected. But try your darndest to get the attorney to return your call and talk to him to find out if they're going to handle that appeal and go ahead and work on that for you. If it was one of my clients and we weren't returning their call, I'd be ready to get really mad at one of my employees, and I expect that would not happen. But if you're talking about some other attorney and they're not returning your call, get somebody to give you a ride or drive yourself down there and go park yourself in the waiting room till somebody gives you a straight answer.
Hey, Linda, can I give you Eric's number just in case? Let me just say he won the Ethics Award recently. Can I give you the number, Linda?
Sure.
It is 634-2506.
And, Jed, let me just say here, Linda, I really feel sorry for you, and I really want you to go talk to the attorney you have. we have to be very careful about, if you call my office or come to my office, I can't do much for you if you are represented by another attorney.
But she can keep it just in case.
But you can have that number in case that doesn't work out, and do your best to get a straight answer from your attorney.
Well, let me ask you something else real quickly, since I don't know. Will this put the decision that he's already brought down, will that put that decision in jeopardy?
In theory, yes. If you appeal a partially favorable decision, then the whole question of disability is still theoretically open, and some judge later on could deny the claim entirely. In reality, that doesn't happen very often, but it does happen sometimes. So the technical answer is yes. If you say I want to appeal it, then they may not effectuate the decision so fast. They may not start paying you benefits that quickly. And in theory, a later decision could take away the benefits that you should already win. So that's the tough call to make, but that's the conversation that everybody who has that situation should be talking to their attorney about.
Linda, I appreciate your call. Eric Buchanan, wow. Woo, buddy, we made up for it this last 25 minutes. Let me just thank Eric Buchanan. Not only has he become a great friend, he is a wonderful, wonderful attorney in this town. Eric Buchanan Associates, the phone number, 634-2506, 634-2506. You will not find a classier person. I want to leave the last 45 seconds to thank the Breadbasket, East Brainerd, their new office in Hickson, and Signal Mountain for supplying all of our guests with great bread. And Eric, I'm going to let you thank your staff once again. Eric Buchanan and Associates, the winner of the 2014 Torch Award. That means the Better Business Bureau's Award for Ethics. You can't get much better than that.
My wife works in our office. Thank you, Meg, for all the hard work that you do. And also, happy anniversary again after 25 great years. Melina, my office manager, has done a great job working for us, but all of our staff, the other four attorneys in the office, the paralegals, I think we all do a great job trying to work together as a team to help our disabled clients get the benefits they deserve.
Eric Buchanan, have a great summer.
Thanks, Jed.